So yesterday we saw that our human spirit was the greatest discovery in the whole universe.
Amen.
And then this morning, so we come to the outline on page 15. How about we read the title together? The Human Spirit Revealed in Ephesians, Being Built into a Dwelling Place of God in Spirit. Let's read the Roman numeral 1 as well. The function of man's spirit, created by God as his inward organ, is for him to contact God, receive God, contain God, and assimilate God into his entire being as his life and his everything. So we all have our human spirits, but we don't just human spirit just because it just exists in us. We have a human spirit because the human spirit has specific functions and its purpose.
Amen.
For example, even in our physical bodies, I believe all of you have your own water bottles. And then if you want to try to drink the water without using your mouth, it will be very difficult to drink the water. Don't even try it. It'll be pretty much, we don't want to mess up the floors. So likewise, even our physical bodies, we have our mouth to take our food in or drink something to in so that we can have our food inside into us.
Amen.
We use our mouth to take the food in, not using other organs in our bodies. Likewise, our human spirit has its specific functions. Our spirit is part of our organs for us to contact God,
Amen.
Receive God,
Amen.
Contain God, and assimilate God into our entire being as our life and our everything.
Amen.
Let's read the verses on the outline scripture reading, Ephesians 2:22 and 1 Peter 2:5. You have the verses? Okay. Ephesians 2:22. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in Spirit. Okay. 1 Peter 2:5. You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In these two verses, you might have noticed there are some overlapped words in these two verses. You also being built up a dwelling place or a spiritual house. So if we combine all these words together, we can come up with one sentence. You also are being built up into a dwelling place. And both verses have the word also. That means no exception. You all have your human spirit, and you all need to be built up into a spiritual house.
Amen.
But how can we be a dwelling place or spiritual house of God? The key is our human spirit.
Amen.
So God is the dweller who dwells in our spirit, and we are the dwelling place. And our human spirit is the dwelling place for God. Without knowing our human spirit, we do not know how to give a room for God so that he can dwell in us. And we don't even know how to use and apply our human spirit in our practical daily life. So knowing our human spirit in all these aspects we are going to go through, it's not just a doctrine, but it is also very practical for God to have a dwelling place in our spirit.
Amen.
So point A says our spirit is for us to worship God.
Amen.
To worship God is to contact God.
Amen.
What does it mean to worship God? What comes to your mind? So what comes to your mind when you hear the phrase worship God, or worshiping God? Maybe you might think that, oh, I need to do something for God. I need to make God satisfied by my service, by certain things that can be done by me. But actually, to worship God is to contact God. Just doing something for God without contacting God is actually a religion. Religion requires you to do something, many things for God, so that God can accept it and God can be satisfied. However, there is no relationship between God and you in religion. When I was in college, I was with a certain Christian group during my college years. I was preparing for many activities and events. I was preparing for gospel preaching activity, weekly worship service on campus, many gatherings, many activities. I was really busy with that. Outwardly, I seemed to be a good brother in Christ since I was doing things for God, right? Wasn't I doing good things? Yes. However, while I was preparing all these things, inwardly I was so tired and I was exhausted. There was no supply. Of course I prayed, I contacted God, but my focus is always outward things. Even with my kind of campus leaders, group leaders, we contacted God just very short period of time, like, Lord, bless this time and then bless this activity. But next an hour or 2 hours, we spent a lot of time in preparing for outward activities. So subsequently, I became so tired and exhausted because I didn't really contact God. Well, maybe I'm still busy right now, but I know how to get my supply.
Amen.
That is from contacting God.
Amen.
When we turn to our spirit, we contact God, and we get the life supply from God.
Amen.
So contacting God is genuine way, worshiping God.
Amen.
May we be a true worshipers by contacting God.
Amen.
And point B, our spirit is the receiving organ to receive God. And Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will also give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you.
Amen.
So before we were saved, we were in a backslidden state. So here, two things are mentioned here, our heart and our spirit. So of course, our focus is on our human spirit, but let me just talk about our heart a little bit. Before we were saved, we still had our hearts, but that was stony and hard. Our heart is an organ for loving the Lord, loving someone. But since our heart was stony and hard, we couldn't really love the Lord. But after we were saved, our heart became a loving organ to love the Lord.
Amen.
So even if you think that, I don't think I have a deep and genuine relationship with the Lord, but if the love of Christ constrains us, so eventually we are drawn by the Lord, we are captivated by His beauty.
Amen.
So even if you are not feeling that you are not loving the Lord, we actually love the Lord.
Amen.
And we start our day saying, I love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
This is not a simple thing. How about we say, Lord Jesus, we love you 3 times.
Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen. Isn't it sweet to say, Lord Jesus, we love you?
Amen.
And regarding our human spirit, our spirit was deadened. We had our human spirit, but it was dead, deadened. But when we are saved, our spirit became enlivened and renewed. And with this human spirit, we can contact God. Christ is living. He went through all the process, death, he died and resurrected. And now he's the living spirit, dispensing himself into us all the time. And now our spirit is also enlivened. So Christ, the living spirit, and our living spirit can contact together. And John 22 says, receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Of course, Jesus said this word to his disciples. And on the Pentecostal day, the Spirit was poured upon them, to the 120 believers. But this receiving the Holy Spirit is not just once for all. When we continue to contact God, we can continually receive God.
Amen.
We can simply receive God by turning to our spirit. You know, many Christians, they keep asking for, Holy Spirit, just, pour upon us. But if we ask God such a question, probably God would answer, well, I already gave it to you. Why don't you take it? The easiest way to take God as the Spirit is continue to call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Continue to contact the Lord.
Amen.
It is that easy. We just need to keep receiving the Lord.
Amen.
Praise for our spirit.
Amen.
Our spirit is organ to receive God.
Amen.
And our spirit is the place where God stays within us. So our spirit is a container of God. 2 Timothy 4:22 says, "The Lord be with your spirit."
Amen.
And same book, chapter 1:14, "The Holy Spirit who dwells in us." So our spirit is where God stays within us. Okay, what did you bring to this college training? What did you bring here? Bible, yeah. Yeah, just, yeah. Don't be too, you know, spiritual. I brought my, you know, exercise spirit. Yeah, that's good, but, you know, physical items. What did you bring here? Water bottle, suitcase. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Clothes, no. Water bottles, shoes. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Who brought your desktop computer here? Desktop computer, not laptop. No. How about your grand piano? Grand piano. Right? You didn't bring it. Why didn't you bring it? Maybe it's not necessary to bring here, right? Or simply you can play your desktop computer or play your grand piano when you go back to your place. It's because you have your own dwelling place. We came to the college training for 1 week, but we eventually go back to our place. However, our God is not like that. When he comes into us, he dwells in us.
Amen.
And he never leaves.
Amen.
He always stays within us.
Amen.
And once he gets into us, he settles down in us. And he can do whatever he wants to do in us.
Amen.
Yet, God needs our cooperation. We continue to invite him, and we continue to ask him, "Lord, have more room in our being.
Amen.
And do whatever you want to do. Make home in my heart even more.
Amen.
This is your dwelling place.
Amen.
Lord, we just give ourselves to you."
Amen.
He needs our cooperation for him to have a dwelling place in our spirit.
Amen.
In that way, our spirit can be a container of God.
Amen.
And point D, our spirit is able to be joined to God as one spirit. The divine spirit and the human spirit become one spirit. And 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit."
Amen.
What does it mean, joining to the Lord and one spirit? So this indicates the mingling of God himself and with our human spirit.
Amen.
As I briefly mentioned, God went through all this process, human living, death and resurrection, and he became the life-giving spirit. And he is the spirit now whom we can contact to. And we have our human spirit. Only in this way, God and human beings can be one entity. We can be mingled together. But many times, probably we have heard of this process and all this verse so many times already. But maybe you can ask yourselves, am I joining to the Lord as one spirit right now? Not just for this college training, but in your daily life. Am I really being one with the Lord? And sometimes when you go through some difficult situations, you might kind of wonder yourself that, oh, am I really with the Lord? I'm not sure. I'm in this difficult situation, and I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't even want to talk to God. But the principle is just continue to ask the Lord and have a genuine conversation with him.
Amen.
Lord, keep me being one with you.
Amen.
I turn to my spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
I love you, Lord.
Amen.
I need you, Lord. We have heard of this joining to the Lord as one spirit, and we already know about mingling with the Lord. But many times we try to be, individualistic. We just wanna kind of go along the way by ourselves. Where without contacting him and without joining him as one spirit, we are simply superficial Christians. Well, everyone can memorize all these verses, no, can understand this principle. But if we don't practice this, we are superficial Christians. we simply need to continue to practice this principle. Otherwise, this is just a doctrine for us. Knowing this, point E says, our spirit is for man to be regenerated by God and to be joined to God, that man may walk and live in an organic union with God to fulfill God's purpose. You know, the Lord Jesus is always within us in our spirit. But in our practical daily life, how can we practice this? Walking with God and living with God. For example, we go shopping, right? But many times we just want to buy the items that we want to buy. And then, Lord, I'm going shopping. Okay, stay there. No, stay there. And we just grab all the items that we want to buy, and even we analyze and convince ourselves that I need this because of that, and you come up with another reason. And deep within you, the Lord speaks to you, put that down. You know, you don't need that. You don't really need that. I'm just giving you an example. When we go certain place, do certain things, deep within you, the Lord is telling you, you are not going to get it. You don't need that. Or you don't need to be there. And that is how practically the Lord is being one with us. And we just simply say amen to whatever he's speaking to us. Amen. Or for example, before you go out for your school or work, you decide what to wear, t-shirts, pants, and jackets. And then deep within you, somehow you don't feel peace when you grab that jacket. And even that's the Lord's working and operating in us. Again, we simply say amen to his speaking within us. And then you grab other items, somehow you feel peace, and then you go with that. You know, that is how we practically practice all these things in our daily life. And then eventually, that is how we can be one with the Lord in an organic union with God to fulfill God's purpose. Imagine if someone asks you, what is God's purpose? Does he have a purpose? What is God's purpose? There are many ways you can answer to that question, but maybe one of the simplest answer you can answer is God wants to be one with us. Amen. So that he can be expressed from us. Amen. Being one with the Lord is actually, in a sense, it's a deep and profound matter, but it's very simple. And many times while you are doing something, you can kind of analyze yourself. I made a certain decision in this matter, but was this my doing or the Lord's doing? Well, the answer should be both. You and the Lord work together. Even wherever you go, making certain decisions, doing certain things, it is the Lord and you. It's the Lord and you doing together. Amen. It is actually that normal. Contacting the Lord, giving the ground to the Lord, and walking and living with the Lord in our daily life. It is very simple. Amen. But the key is, you just continue to ask him, Lord, continue to be one with me. Amen. Lord, I don't even know, I memorized all these verses regarding the being built into a dwelling place of God in spirit, but Lord, practically, maybe I don't know how to practice this. Lord, continue to work yourself into me. Amen. Even have more room within me. Amen. Lord, I don't know how, but I just open to you. Amen. By knowing and practicing all these functions, we can be one with the Lord, and he will have more dwelling place in us. Amen. Amen. I'll stop here and Glenn will continue.
How about we all stand up and read Roman numeral 1 and 2 together? Just the Roman numerals, 1 and 2.
Okay, you can be seated. So Richard did an excellent job in showing us what is the Spirit. And Roman numeral 1 on all the points shows us what is the Spirit. The Spirit is what? It's an organ, really, much like a stomach, that kind of organ. When we think of the Spirit, we think, oh, this is the organ that we can contact God, we can know God. But God doesn't just want to be contacted. He wants to get into you. That's the kind of contact he wants. So the Spirit is better described as like a stomach to take in. and to digest and to assimilate. This is the way God wants to interact with man. He wants to get into you, get assimilated into you until he becomes part of you. This is how he accomplishes his, what? Good pleasure. It fulfills his purpose, which is how our brother ended with point E. What is his good pleasure? What is his purpose? What does he want? Another way to say it is he wants a dwelling place, and this is Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 2 shows us he needs a dwelling place. He needs a home. He's been homeless for a long time, a long time. So he finds his home in man, in us. Do you think he's happy to find his home in you? Sure. But do you think that's enough? Just you. Can you, express the fullness of God? No. Last night we saw there's so many different kinds of birds, and that's just to show one small characteristic of God's power. How much more does he need, and how many more people does he need to express him in his fullness? So the church, which is his dwelling place, consists of all the believers throughout time. You know, when we were checking out this campus months earlier to see if this campus would meet our need to hold this training, they asked us, what should we call your group? And we said, well, I don't know. What do we call it? Well, I guess we're the church. And they said, okay. And they just wrote down the church. So now, when we came up to this camp, and we're about to check in, they go, are you with the church? I thought I was a surprise. Like, how did you know? I am the church, yes. And then when you walk into the cafeteria, there's a little sign that says, this area is reserved for the church. It's a good reminder, isn't it? A very good reminder. We're the church.
Amen.
We're the church.
Amen.
And there's other groups too. Now, what if another group came and they're also called the church? Well, that'd be confusing. They also are regenerated, just like us. They're also getting into the Word. While we're memorizing Ephesians, they're memorizing James. And they're getting into, we sing and we enjoy the Lord, and they sing and they enjoy it louder than we do. And we come here and we have testings. They go out and they preach the gospel. Which one's the church? What was that? Both. The church consists of all of God's people. Everyone who's been regenerated. But God needs to continue to build it. Is it enough just to have you in his, have him living inside of you? If we gathered all the Christians together, do you think it would be smooth? There would be no problems? There would be a lot of problems. Why? Because we would all disagree how to build up the church. And this has been a big problem throughout the centuries, especially for those who are zealous for the Lord. If you don't really care, you don't have a problem. You wouldn't argue. But if you feel like, oh, this is the way to build up the church, we got to have tambourines in our meetings. We just have to. Or we just have to do this. We have to preach the gospel. No. We got to get constituted with the Word first. No. We need to really learn to touch the Lord first. Those who are zealous to build up the church are oftentimes the ones who have different opinions. But how do we build up the church? The Bible tells us how we build the church. Let me read to you a verse. Ephesians 2:22. In whom also you are being built together into a dwelling place of God in love. No? In power. In the Word. No. In spirit.
Amen.
These two words show us how God builds his church.
Amen.
He builds the church in spirit.
Amen.
What does this mean? This means that the church is in our spirit.
Amen.
This is a very hard concept for a lot of Christians. Many Christians have a more outward concept when we talk about the church. A lot of believers believe that the church, in order to build up the church, we need numbers. The more people we get saved, the larger and the more built up the church will be. On one hand, yes, that's true. The more believers, the more people that get saved, the more the church increases because there's more vessels. But let's say you have a locality. Maybe some of you are from a locality that are quite large. Maybe there's 500 believers meeting where you meet in your locality. And some of you might come from a smaller locality of maybe 20 people. Which one is a larger church? Well, you would think logically, we would all say the one with 500 people. But of the 500, as they gather together, if only 5 people are in spirit. And of the other locality where there's 20 saints gathering together and all 20 are in spirit, the one with 20 is actually larger. There's more expression. There's more reality. You see, the church is all together in your spirit. And so if you are only 1% of the spirit, in the spirit, and 99% is you, then you are only 1% in the church. You may say, well, I've grown up in the church. I've spent my whole 18, 20 years, my whole life in the church. That doesn't mean you're in the church. If you only spend 5 minutes, if you've only spent 5 minutes of your whole life in spirit, you've only been 5 minutes in the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? The church is all together in spirit. Amen. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together again. Amen. So the church, I hope we can see this. The church is in spirit. It's in our spirit. And this is because the church is not a physical building, a physical house. It's a spiritual house. So in 1 Peter 2:5, actually let me read the point first. The church, the dwelling place of God, is a spiritual house. Therefore, to be the church requires us to be in our spirit. This is taken from 1 Peter 2:5. I'll read it to you. You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Here I would underline spiritual house. God's house, God's dwelling place, is a spiritual one. It's not a physical one. I've gone to many places to visit different believers, and I've noticed with a lot of the believers today, they have this concept that the church is a physical house. It's a physical house. And I know none of you have this thought, but it's very prevalent among a lot of Christians. And so one time I was in Finland, in Helsinki, and I went to this one church. They spent a lot of time and a lot of money digging out this. It was a kind of a rock mountain. And they dug into it, and then they turned that into a church. And so they call it the Church of the Rock, something like that. And so when you go in, it's like going into a cave, but it's really nice, a nice cave. Anyways, their thought was, this is the church. Isn't it beautiful? I've also been to the Vatican. They call that the mother church of the Catholics. And so it's an enormous building. And anyways, this shows you their thought that the church is a physical house. But I don't understand how come they don't read 1 Peter 2:5. It's so clear that it's a spiritual house. Not only is it a spiritual house, it's people. It's us. So Peter begins the verse saying, you yourselves also as living stones. So he's speaking to all the believers, and he's calling all the believers living stones. Then he says, you as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house. This shows us that we as believers are the church, but only our spirit, when we come together, is the spiritual house. Okay. B, the reality of the church is in our spirit. For the reality of the church is the spirit. Did I read that right? The reality of the church is in our... How about you guys read it? Amen. You have to really pay attention to the letters. There's a capital S and a lowercase s. And so the first is, the first part of the sentence says, the reality of the church is where?
In our spirit.
What spirit is that referring to? It's our human spirit. The church is in us. It's in us. It's in our spirit. But then it says, for the reality of the church is the spirit. Which spirit is that? The big S, the capital S spirit. That's referring to God. God as a spirit. So the church is the spirit. What does that mean? The church is a person. The church is a person. The reality of the church is not many people. It's one person. And that's the spirit. When we think of the church, oftentimes we think, oh, we all need to come together, and that's the church. And we look at all the different kinds of people, and we say, oh, what a wonderful church this is. Actually, in God's eyes, the church is only one person, and that's the spirit. Where does the spirit live? He dwells in our human spirit. Our human spirit. And so we have this, where is it? Okay, let's just go to the next point. Let's read C together. Okay, to be in the church in reality is to be in our spirit. And this is what I had mentioned earlier. You can be in the meeting of the church and all the saints are gathering together, but if you're not in the spirit at that time, you are not in the reality of the church. That's the fact. So when we talk about the spirit, I think in our mind we oftentimes we think of when we come together, and when we think about, when we say exercise your spirit, maybe you may think, oh, that's referring to when we come together, I need to sing louder. I need to stand up. I need to release my spirit. There is that aspect to it. And that's to help us to get out of ourselves. But in Ephesians 3:16, Paul there calls our spirit an inner man. An inner man. What does that mean? Okay, right here we have Michael Trofimov, right? How many men are sitting there? You would say there's one man, Michael. But I would say there's two men in that one seat. There's Michael as the outer man, but there's an inner man inside this man, Michael. Who is that man? That man is Christ. It's this, as the spirit, and he's living in Michael's spirit. So Michael is two people. There's Michael and there's Christ. And yesterday morning, Brother Phil shared how when we receive Christ into our heart, we became complicated. Some of you live complicated lives, full of drama. And now that you've received the Lord, it becomes more complicated. For example, you, the outer man, have desires. You want to do something. But now that you receive the Lord, the things that you want to do may not be what the person in you wants to do. And the things that the Lord inside wants to do may not be what you want to do. For example, let's say I say, okay, after this message, we're going to go out and preach the gospel. What's your reaction? Okay, yeah, it's mixed. It's very mixed. Some of you say, praise the Lord, let's do it, let's go. Some of you are like, no way. There's no way I'm not going out there. There's a conflict. Do you see the conflict? Inside you want to speak, but outside you don't want to speak. And this happens all the time in the meetings. In the meetings, after a brother shares, we have a time for testimonies and prophesying. And inwardly, you hear that boom, 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 boom. You just feel like, oh my goodness, something in me wants to go up and speak, but I'm terrified. I do not want to go. That's the struggle between your outer man and your inner man. So this shows we all have an outer man and we have an inner man. So Paul in chapter 3 prays that the inner man gets strengthened. Every morning you need to let the inner man get strengthened and let the outer man be crucified. Brothers and sisters, the church life is altogether your inner man. The church is in the inner man, not in the outer man. I'm afraid there might be some in this room have never let the inner man have its way. You always let the outer man, what you want to do. You don't let the Spirit have its way. And so, as a result, the church becomes boring. The church becomes not very interesting. The church becomes a miserable place. Why? Because the church is not in your outer man. The outer man has nothing to do with the church. The church is the inner man. It's Christ as a spirit in your mingled spirit. When you touch the spirit, when you let the inner man have its way, then the church is being built up. And the church becomes real to you. Some of you may say, the church isn't real to me. The Lord isn't real to me. That's because you've never let the inner man have its way. You always let the outer man take its preference. The Lord asks you, say sorry to that person. You say, no way. I'm not going to say sorry. He'll think less of me. We won't think less of you. We already think less of you. You don't think any more less of you. Or we may say, I don't want to get up. I don't, the Lord inside may say, get up and say something. I don't want to. They may know that I don't know the truth. No, we're all the same. We're all the same. We all like to hide our shortcomings and hide everything. We need to learn to release the inner man and not let the outer man have its way. Amen. Go against the outer man. Amen. Okay, so there's a verse here that I've really been musing on and ruminating and considering, and that's Psalm 84:5. And we sang about this a little bit this morning. And this Psalm, this verse says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion." For a long time, I had a hard time understanding what does that mean. And I envisioned, well, first of all, you need to understand what is Zion. In the Old Testament, God's dwelling place was in a very specific place. He didn't say, you can worship here, here, and here. No. He only chose one place in all of Israel to have his house and to be worshipped. And that place was in the city of Jerusalem. So everybody had to come, whether you live next door or you live miles and miles away, you still had to come to the one spot that God chose to worship God. That was Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is a city. And in this city, or this city was built on a hill. And in this city, in the center of the city, there's a peak. The highest elevation of that place is called Zion. And it was on that very spot that God chose to have his dwelling place, his house. And so When I first read this verse, I thought, highways to Zion. I didn't even know they had highways back then. And so I just imagined, okay, you know, several times a year they would have to go to Zion. They would have to go to Jerusalem to worship and to hold a feast to Jehovah. And so I imagined, okay, so they're all on these roads, these highways. And so you would be with your family in a cart being pulled by a mule and your family, and you have all this food. And then if you had two mules and you're a little faster, you would have to pass on the left. And then if you had a huge family, like 10 or more, then you can take the HOV lane on this highway. And we're all going to Zion. We're all going to Zion. This is incorrect. Because when I was thinking of highway, I was thinking something outside of us. But this verse says, the highways of Zion are in your heart. They're in your heart. The way to Zion is inward, not outward. Zion in the Old Testament was God's dwelling place. Today, it's still God's dwelling place, but it's a spiritual house. Remember, it's a spiritual house. Zion typifies, or is a picture of, the overcoming church life today. It's the overcoming church life today. And the way to an overcoming church life is inside you. It's not outside. The ways to this, and even the highway, meaning the straightest way, the quickest way to Zion, to the church, God's dwelling place, is in your heart. What does this mean, in your heart? Well, before my concept was it's outside of me. It's outward. My thought was it's outward, and it's just a way that you take. But this, if you dig into this verse, you realize it's altogether inward, it's altogether deep, and it's also costly. Because Psalm 84 is after all the Psalms in chapter 70, obviously. But all the Psalms in 70 talk about God dealing with us, stripping the things of the outer man so the inner man can come out. After all these kind of experiences, then you come to chapter 84, where you have longings for Zion. Brothers and sisters, if you never let the inner man come out, if you always preserve your outer man, you will never have longings for Zion. You will never have a desire for the church. You will never want what God wants. To have what God wants, you need to be able to let the inner man have its way. Not just in the meetings, but in every aspect of your daily living. Every aspect of your daily living. From the time you get up, all the way to the time that you go to bed. In the morning, when you get up, or you try to get up, your outer man is saying, just stay back for another 5 minutes. The inner man is saying, why don't you rise up and call on the Lord from deep within? There's a struggle. There's a choice there. In the evening, you're about to go to bed. The outer man is saying, why don't you, you know, you've had a long day. Why don't you relax a little bit? Check the internet. Do this, do that. The inner man is saying, why don't you just go to bed and rest? We always have these choices before us. Outer man, inner man. Outer man, inner man. If you choose the outer man, eventually all your experiences will build the church. Okay, next point. D, our spirit is where the building of the church takes place. One, the building up of the church as the fullness of God is the issue of our experience of Christ in our spirit. Brothers and sisters, all the experiences of Christ issue in the building up of the church as the fullness of God. How do we build up Christ? How do you build up the church? You experience Christ. How do we know if our experiences are building up the church? There are some, you know, okay, let me, I don't have time to elaborate. The way we know is in point two. Let's read two together.
Building is a matter of oneness. As long as we stay outside of the Spirit, we are divided
The way we know if our experiences are building up the body of Christ is there is oneness. There's oneness. If you say, oh, the Lord told me this, or I experienced this, but it causes friction between you and the other believers, I would have a question mark on that experience. Okay. Three, since the building up of the church is in spirit, our relationships in the church should be in spirit. We should not have natural relationships in the church. A, there are no direct relationships in the church. All relationships are through the head, Christ. What does this mean? There's no direct relationships. Number one, it means, first of all, you need to have a relationship with Christ. And all your relationships should be out of that relationship. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, then how do you know? Then how do you know if your relationships are natural or not? You don't know. And most likely they are natural. You have to know Christ. You have to have a relationship with the head. You have to ask the Lord, Lord, what about my relationship with my mom? Lord, how's my relationship with my dad? How's my relationship with this brother, this sister, this person, that person? The Lord as the head will tell you, this is how all our relationships should be. And this is how all our relationships should be through the head. B, natural relationships issue in division. Relationships that are in spirit bring in oneness and building. Four, last point. Let's read this together. So the church is, of course, the spirit in us, but it also consists of all the believers. And so we're with the saints all the time. How do we know if our relationship with one another is natural or not? You need something really sharp. And that sharp tool is called the Word of God. And so in Hebrews 4:12, it says, the Word of God is sharper, and it's living and operative, and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word, if you handle it correctly, becomes living, and it becomes operative, and it can discern what is of your soul and what is of your spirit. What is your outer man? What is your inner man? What is natural and what is of God? The only way to know is through the Word, but not just reading the Word, but that the Word would become living and operative. This is a function of the Word. How does the Word become living and operative as opposed to just black and white letters? You must learn to handle the Word with your spirit. And we've given you, in the mornings, we've given you some tools about how to pray, read. How to pray, read. When you pray over the Word, you may not immediately get the answer, but oftentimes I get a lot of light. Let me give you an example. As I was preparing for this message, I was getting into these verses. This verse, Hebrews 4:12, impressed me. And as I was preparing, I just felt I wasn't prepared. I just had a lot of anxiety for some reason. And so I prayed to the Lord and I prayed, but I just didn't know, why was I so anxious? Why was I so anxious? Then this verse came as a sword to divide between my soul and spirit. And as I was praying, this verse came up and I realized, what about the thoughts and intents of your heart, Glenn? When you give this message, what is the deepest intention? Is your intention to speak the Word of God, or do you want to be able to say afterwards, I did a good job. I did a good job. I realized there was an intention deep in my heart that I wasn't even aware of that the Word was able to expose, and I needed to divide that. So, brothers and sisters, the Word of God is living and operative, and it can divide things that we are not aware of. It can divide between our soul and our spirit. We need the Word of God. We need the Spirit. Together, we can build the church. So may the Lord bring us all on the highways to Zion in our heart. Amen.